Well, my apologies for the temperature in here this morning. It's a little warm. We're sorry about that. For some reason, the air conditioning unit has decided this morning to take a day off. Not sure what's going on with it. I just know the blower is not blowing. And so, generally in every congregation, there's always some who are hot and always some who are cold. So those of you who are always cold are perfect this morning. Those of you who are hot are hotter. Sorry about that. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to talk about making our calling and election sure. Jordan read for us a few moments ago verses 5 through 11 of this passage. We're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11 in particular as we think about this passage, but I'd like to start by reading just a little bit further, because it's clear in this passage that Peter's goal in this book is to remind the brethren of the truth that is in Christ Jesus and to encourage them to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus. In verse 12 he says, Therefore, considering the things that he just said, I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the truth which is in you. And I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus Christ signified unto me. Yea, and I will give diligence, that at every time ye may be able after my decease to call these things to remembrance. It was Peter's job. It was Peter's responsibility. He felt like that was his stewardship before the Lord, to constantly put them in mind of the things that the Lord had given to them. And he says, I know that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly. But he says in verse 15, I will give diligence that every time ye may be able after my decease to call these things to remembrance. He wrote for the purpose that even after he was gone, after he had gone on to his reward, he wrote these things that they might be able to bring these things to remembrance, that they might be encouraged, that they might be edified, that they might be built up, that they might be reminded of the truths which were in Christ Jesus. He began earlier in the chapter, in verses 3 and 4, by reminding them that God's divine power had granted unto them all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he has granted unto us, verse 4, his exceeding and great promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so Peter reminds them that in his divine power, God had given them everything that pertained to life and godliness. There was not anything that the Lord God left out. There was not anything that we need that the Lord did not supply. All things that pertain to life and godliness come through a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then in the passage that Jordan read for us, beginning at verse 5, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, and in your faith supply virtue and knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And so we're to give diligence to add these things. God has supplied everything we need. God has given us everything that we need to pertain unto life, unto godliness, that we might grow, that we might develop, that we might be the people he wants us to be, that we might have the hope of life eternal. And so therefore now it becomes incumbent upon us to continue to grow. We're going to talk about making your calling and election sure. He has called us. He has elected us. He has chosen us. It's up to us to that give the diligence to make our calling and election sure. It's up to us to add self-control and virtue and knowledge and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. If these things are yours and abound, he says in verse 8, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing of his old self, his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence. He uses this word diligence more than once in this context. Give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom. That's what we want, isn't it? That's what we want. We want that entrance into the eternal kingdom. Life is not ultimately about here. There can be great joys and there can be great contentment and happiness and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we enjoy those things and we should enjoy those things. And God has given us many blessings in Christ Jesus that we can enjoy today. But the ultimate goal of the Christian is life eternal, that we might receive this richly supplied blessing of the eternal entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's talk about our calling and election. Before we talk about the idea of making our calling and election sure, let's talk for just a moment about this calling. The Bible has a great deal, many, many references referring to our calling as Christians, how that we have been called. And I'm not going to take the time to turn over and read all of these passages. I just want to mention them in passing, but just to reference them, to notice, and I didn't include nearly all of them, not even close to all of them, that refer to our calling in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul talks about the fact that we've been called into the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been called, remember that word, we've been called into the fellowship, that sharing relationship. That's what the word fellowship means. We've been called into the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, Paul says that we should walk worthily of God who called us into his kingdom and glory. Two things there. We have been called into his kingdom and glory. We are now in his kingdom. And we now, in some ways, are already participants in the glory, the forgiveness, the redemption of our sins, the hope of life eternal. Not the ultimate glory we shall receive, but we've been called into his kingdom and into his glory. But he tells us here to walk worthily of God. Walk worthily of this calling that we have received. Walk worthily of God who called us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, that we've been called to eternal glory. Someday we'll have that eternal glory. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, we've been called to inherit a blessing. Called to inherit a blessing. I think that's chapter 3, verse 9. I think that's a wrong reference. You check and see. But we've been called to inherit a blessing. Chapter 3, verse 14 of Philippians. We are to press on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have this wonderful high calling of God. And Paul is there encouraging us to press on to the goal, to the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And now look at 1 Peter chapter 2, if you want to flip over there. It's on the screen before us, and I'll just read it off the screen. But a wonderful passage where Peter says, "But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but are now the people of God." He's borrowing here from the wording of a couple of the prophets. Hosea comes to our mind, but there were more than one who talked about the fact that we would be the people of God. "In times past we were no people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now that have obtained mercy." Peter says, "But ye are an elect race." There's our word for election. Make your calling and election sure. We'll come back to that word in just a moment. But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. These same phrases were used of Israel in the Old Testament. They were to be an elect race of people. They were to be a priesthood before God. The whole nation, not just the priesthood itself, but the whole nation. God desired them to be a nation of priests, a kingdom of priests. And we see that in Exodus chapter 19. They're to be a holy nation and a people for God's own possession. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, he says that Israel was his possession. God had selected them from all the nations of the earth to be his possession. Israel was all of these things, but even more so, Israel as a figure and a symbol of what was coming under Christ, we are the true people of God. We are the elect race and the royal priesthood and the holy nation and the people of God's own possession. We are possessed of Him. That, but there's a purpose. That shows purpose. That ye may show forth. Other versions say that ye may declare. We have a purpose in living. We have a purpose as being God's people. We have a purpose as being an elect race and a royal priesthood and a holy nation. That ye may declare. We live that we may declare something to others. That ye may declare the excellencies of Him. Who is that, God? That ye may declare the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. There's our word, being called. We've been called out of darkness. We've been called out of the world. We've been called out of Satan's realm. We've been called into a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven. We are now His people. We were no more. We were not the people of God before. We were like the Gentiles on the outside looking in as far as Israel was concerned. But now we're all one people. Those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Those who have come to know Him. Those who have chosen Him. You've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, who in times past were no people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now who have obtained mercy. That's who we are, and that's what we should be. So in summary, Christians have been called. We've been called out of darkness. We've been called out of sin and forgiven. We've been called out of the world. We've been called into a special relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can now call upon God as our Father. We can address Him in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We have a relationship with Jesus through Him. He is our Father. Jesus is our elder brother. And we are brothers and sisters one with another. The reason that we call each other brother and sister is not because we've just made up a title of some kind. Because that's who we are. We are brothers and sisters. Just as surely as we have brothers and sisters in the flesh, we have brothers and sisters in the Spirit. We both have the same Father. Our Father is in heaven. Our spiritual Father who gave us birth through the gospel. And so now we are His. And He's called us out of the world into this special relationship. And so in this relationship there is forgiveness of sins. We're forgiven. Brothers and sisters, we're forgiven. Every sin has been removed through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's not true of the world. That's not true of those who have not obeyed the gospel. We share in something others do not share in. They may call themselves Christians or they may call themselves something else, but if they have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are not God's people. But we have a relationship with one another, a true relationship, because we have been forgiven. And being forgiven, we can be adopted into that family. And being adopted, we are children. And being children, we are brothers and sisters. We have fellowship with the saints. We have hope, true hope, not made up hope, not pie in the sky hope, real hope. The hope of life eternal because of this calling. Because we have been called. We're talking about making our calling and election sure. I want to make that calling sure. I want to make that election sure. The word election is a little bit different word. It's not exactly a synonym. They fit together. The word elect just simply is the act of picking or the act of choosing. God called us, but then He picked us. He called us, and then He chose us. And so the act of picking, the act of choosing, Strong says. Vine says it denotes a picking out, a selection, then that which is chosen. And so we can talk about the elect, that which is chosen, one who has been chosen. And so Vine says it first denoted the idea of picking or choosing out or selecting, but then referred to the thing that was chosen. We are the elect. We've been chosen, and so we're the elect. And so you can address those who are elect. God has chosen certain ones. He's chosen Christians. Why did He do that? Is God a respecter of persons? Did God just arbitrarily say, okay, I like Jordan, I'm going to choose him. I like Fred, I'm going to choose him. I like Casey, I'm going to choose her. But Ron, not going to choose him. Is that what He did? No, He didn't do that. He chose. He didn't choose arbitrarily. He didn't choose because He liked the color of your hair, or He liked the way you look, or He liked your mommy or daddy, or because you had money or you didn't. He didn't choose you for that reason. Why did He choose you? Why did He elect you? Well, we'll talk about that. Why did He elect us? Why did He choose us? We are the elect. Going back to the passage that we just read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are an elect race and a royal priesthood and a holy nation and a people for God's own possession. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect. Who is he writing to? He's writing to Christians. But he calls them the elect. He's talking about those who have been chosen. In Colossians 3 and verse 12, Paul says, put on therefore, we just studied this passage for 13 weeks in detail. Colossians chapter 3, those of you who are in the Bible class, if you weren't, you missed something. This passage in Colossians chapter 3, the workbook that we use, went into detail talking about from different angles how we have been chosen of God and our responsibilities before God. Put on, therefore, as God's elect. Because we are God's elect, we're encouraged to continue to live in such a way as to show that we are elect and to live a righteous life before Him. He says, put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion and kindness and lowliness and meekness and long-suffering. And he goes on, but you get the idea. But we are God's elect. We are God's chosen ones. And because of that, we are to put on certain things in our lives. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love, having foreordained us into adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto Himself. And he goes on. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessings. Here's the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. He chose us in Him, he says, before the foundation of the world. And so that gets back to our question, why did he choose us? Who did he choose? Did he choose us arbitrarily? Well, it becomes very clear as we study the Bible as a whole, and it's not our subject this morning to go into detail, so if you have a question about it, we can talk about it more. But he did not choose us arbitrarily, and he did not just choose us for whatever reason. He chose us because we chose him. He made the offer. He called us. He called us through the gospel. We're going to talk about it in a moment. And having called us through the gospel, those who come to Jesus, those who obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who determine that they want to serve His Son and obey His Son and honor Him, they are the ones who have been chosen. He chose a kind of people. It couldn't be understood any better than going to the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, in what we call the Beatitudes, this tells the kind of people that God chose. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are willing to be persecuted. That's whom God chose. He chose a certain kind of people. He didn't choose arbitrarily by name before the foundation of the world, some to be saved and some to be lost, like Luther and Calvin and others said. But he determined the kind of people who would be saved. And those kind of people are people who are poor in spirit, and those who mourn over their sins, and those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And when they do that and they follow Jesus Christ, those are the ones that he has chosen. And so he calls us. He calls everyone through the gospel. But he's chosen those who have humbled themselves and chosen to follow his Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Bible teaches we're called through the gospel. God called us, but not in our ear. Sometimes people talk about a calling. It's not a feeling. It's not a still, quiet voice in the middle of the night that we hear in a dream or in a vision. It's not that kind of calling. It's not audible. It's not something you hear. But he has called us through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto..." Notice the little words. Don't miss the little words as you read too quickly. He called you, he chose you from the beginning unto salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God chose you from the beginning unto salvation. In sanctification, setting you apart. The sanctification of the Spirit, the setting apart by the Spirit, the message of the Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit. He sets us apart unto salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Those who believe the truth, those who will obey the truth and be sanctified by the truth, those are the ones who have been chosen. Wherefore, this fits with it, wherefore he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the word "our gospel" there fool you. Paul is just simply referring to the gospel that they preached, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you've been called through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how he calls us, the preaching of the gospel. The message of the gospel. The message of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. How that he died for us and he shed his blood for us. And he loved us more than he loved himself. And he gave up his heavenly home and he gave into the world that wonderful mystery that our brother talked about at the table this morning. And that he gave himself for us. And people hear that message. And it pricks the heart. And it defines for them love that they've never seen and understood before. He called us through the blessed gospel. The blessed message of the truth of Jesus Christ. This calling is well illustrated in the parable of the sower. In Matthew chapter 13. Luke chapter 8, the sower goes forth to sow. You've all heard the sower, the parable of the sower. The sower goes forth to sow, and some seed falls by the wayside, and some falls on rocky ground, and some falls on thorny ground, and some falls on good ground. And he says the rocky ground is like the seed that falls on the path, and the birds come and eat it up, and that which is on the rocky soil, it starts to grow because there's only a little bit of dirt there, but pretty soon it gets burned out by the heat, and the thorny soil is where it begins to grow up, but soon it's choked out by the thorns. And the good ground are good and honest hearts where the seed has been sown and grows up, some to be 30-fold and some 60-fold and some 100-fold. But in this parable, what we see is the sower is the same. With all of those outcomes, it's the same sower. The difference of the outcome is not because of the sower. And in all of those outcomes, the difference is not because of the seed. The seed is the same. It's the same powerful seed, the seed of the kingdom, which is the Word of God, which is given in the interpretation. What is the difference? The difference is the heart of men and women. That's the difference. God has called us all. God calls all men, but God will not force us. He calls us. He calls all men. He calls us through the gospel. The seed has been sown, but some will reject it. The gospel is powerful. The seed is the same in all the cases. It's that powerful message. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We've accepted that message. Those of you who are Christians this morning, which is the vast majority of all of you who are in this assembly today, maybe each and every one of us, except for the children that are not yet of age, you've accepted that gospel. You're not like the world. You're not like the world. You're not like those who have rejected it. You're not like those who will not hear. You're not like the ones where the seed lays on the top and Satan comes and picks it off. You've allowed God's Word to sink into your heart, and God's Word has changed you. Are we always what we should be? No, we still make mistakes. But we are seeking Him, and we've listened to that message, and we've been called of the Lord, and He has chosen us in the gospel. Now, we have to make our calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure. I want to illustrate this by talking about making your graduation sure. If you went to a college or to a university, you had a college catalog. You remember the college catalog? It's been so long ago, but I remember having a college catalog. And in that college catalog, you could look up and you could see what you were supposed to study. My degree at the University of Minnesota was in ancient Near Eastern and Jewish studies. And there was a section in the catalog on ancient Near Eastern and Jewish studies. And if you were going to get a degree in ancient Near Eastern studies, you had to follow what the catalog said. And it had courses that were required to take. And then it had certain electives that you could take. And before you graduated, you would sit down and you would hear somebody's transcript. And you would look at your transcript with your advisor. And you would compare it to the catalog. This is not my transcript. There's too many A's on it. But you would compare your transcript to the catalog. And he would go down your transcript and say, Ancient History 101, you took that, Mr. Copeland, good, you're good. Ancient History second semester, good, you got that one. Hebrew, you took first year Hebrew, good, you got that one. Second year Hebrew, you got that one, good. And he would go down the list, and everything you were supposed to take, he would check it off. And when he would get to the end, he would say, here's the catalog. And he wouldn't say it in so many words. He knew I understood this. But here is the catalog, and here is your transcript. And when those two match up, then he would sign on a piece of paper and send it to the dean and say, J.D. Wilson Copeland Jr. is qualified to graduate with his Bachelor's of Arts in Ancient Near Eastern and Jewish Studies. And that's the way it worked. But you had to compare the catalog to what you did. And if it got to the end and you were missing a required course, you could not graduate. You had to make your calling and election sure. You had to make sure what you had done matched up to what was required. And that's what we have to do in the gospel. And so we need to make our calling and election sure. How do you do that? How do you do that? Again, I'm not talking about perfect obedience here. I'm not talking about earning our salvation. I'm simply pointing out the fact that if I'm going to stand before God and give an account for what I have done, I need to look into His Word. I must examine God's Word and see what His Word says. And then I must honestly look at my life and say, have I done that? Have I done that? Have I obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Have I believed in Him? The writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus? That's one of the requirements in the catalog. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. And then Luke, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, in many other places, the apostles and Jesus taught repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Have you repented of your sins this morning? Are you sorry for the life, the sins that you have been in your life? Have you turned in repentance to God? Have you confessed the name of Jesus? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul wrote, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and will believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have you confessed Jesus as the Son of God? Do you believe He is the Son of God? Will you turn to Him in confession? Have you been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38, the apostles on the day of Pentecost said, repent and be baptized every one of you. When asked, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Saul was told by Ananias, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Have you done that? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus and turned from your sins? Have you confessed the name of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Before we finish, and we're just about done, open up your songbook to the song that's been selected this morning. That's what Peter is doing for us in 2 Peter chapter 1. In this context of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter's writing to Christians, but Peter is saying, make your calling and election sure. How do we do that? We compare God's message with my life. And if there's something in my life that doesn't match up, I need to correct it. If there's something in my life that's not right, I need to correct it. If my life is full of lies, I need to repent of that and change it. The Bible teaches about not lying. If my life is full of sexual sin, I need to change it. Because the Bible speaks against uncleanliness and lasciviousness and adultery and homosexuality. Whatever in my life is not right before God, as I compare the catalog of God's Word to my transcript of my life, where am I lacking? That's what Peter is calling us to here. Make your calling and election sure by looking at God's Word and examining your life and seeing what you should be before Him. Because if you do these things, ye shall never stumble. It doesn't mean He will never sin. We will sin. John says in 1 John chapter 1 that if we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. Peter here is talking about the fact stumbling in a way that we fall off the road and lose our salvation. If we will be diligent and study God's Word and make our calling and election sure by aligning our lives with the things that the Lord has outlined for us to do, we can live with confidence. We can live with assurance. We can live with hope. If there's something in your life that needs to be corrected today, correct it. Maybe others don't know about it. Maybe others do know about it. But whatever your need may be, if you need to correct it and make it right and you want the prayers and the help of the congregation here, please let that be known while we sing this song together.